American fascism will not be really dangerous until there is a purposeful coalition among the corporatists. The deliberate poisoners of public information and those who stand for the KKK type of demagoguery. Vice President Henry Wallace, 1944, warning of future American fascism. I'm Kevin Cook, and this week in labor history, August 17th, 1910. Women strikers broke through police lines and demolished a New York garment factory that tried to open in defiance of the strike. Garment workers were toiling as much as 15 hours a day for as little as 50 cents. They tossed sewing machines out the windows and smashed furniture. The industry-wide strike had begun in June and quickly spread, with 60,000 striking up and down the East Coast. In September, the strike leads to an agreement that finally improves working conditions and wages. 1918, 95 Wobblies were sent to prison for 20 years for publicly speaking for peace and against the U.S. entering World War I. August 18, 1927, radio station WEVD, named for Eugene V. Debs, goes on the air in New York City, operated by the Forward Association as a memorial to the legendary American labor leader and American socialist. 1932, founding of the American Federation of Government Employees, following a decision by the National Federation of Federal Employees to leave the AFL. August 19th, 1909, first edition of IWW Little Red Songbook is published. Using nonviolent civil disobedience and the songs from the book, the IWW sang their way out of overflowing jails and won free speech for all in Montana and across the West. Like your free speech? Think a Wobbly. 1959, Butte, Montana, second longest miners' strike will last 181 days. August 20th, 1886, sentences were handed down on this date against the Haymarket Martyrs, who were labor activists fighting for the 8-hour workday. All were found guilty despite their obvious innocence. None were even present at the scene of the bombing at Haymarket Square during a rally for the 8-hour day. Seven of the eight defendants, George Engel, Samuel Felden, Adolf Fischer, Louis Ling, Albert Parsons, Michael Schwab, and August Spies, were condemned to death. Oscar Niebe was sent to prison for 15 years. The hangings occurred on November 11th of the next year. 1914, Butte, Montana. An office for the Parrott Mine is dynamited. In March 1912, Amalgamated Copper had fired 500 miners, accusing them of being socialists. In December, they imposed a blacklist to exclude workers with affiliations to leftist unions and labor organizations. Pinkerton and Thiel detective agencies infiltrated the union, marked agitators, and provoked violence to weaken the union in order to protect high company profits, low wages, and deadly working conditions. August 21st, 1920, ongoing violence by coal operators and their paid goons in the southern coal fields of West Virginia led to a 3-hour gun battle between striking miners and guards that left 6 dead. Federal troops were sent in not only to quell the fighting, but to protect profits and ensure that scabs were able to get to and from the mines. A general strike was threatened if the troops did not cease their strike-breaking activities. 1952, a strike began against International Harvester by the United Electrical Workers. August 22nd, 1945. Five flight attendants formed the Line Stewardesses Association, the first labor union representing flight attendants. They were reaching to an industry in which women were forced to retire at the age of 32, remain single, and adhere to strict weight, height, and appearance requirements. The association later became the AFA, now a division of the CWA. 1980, Joyce Miller, vice president of the Amalgamated Clothing and Textile Workers, becomes first female member of the AFL-CIO Executive Council. August 23, 1912, the U.S. Commission on Industrial Relations is formed by Congress during a period of great labor and social unrest. After 3 years, and hearing witnesses ranging from wobblies to wealthy elite capitalists, it issued an 11-volume report highly critical of capitalism. 1966, founded by Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, the Farm Workers Organizing Committee, to later become United Farm Workers of America, is granted a charter by the AFL-CIO. This Week in Labor History is compiled by Kevin D. Curtis. For KBMF, I'm Kevin Cook. Good day.